Hey guys, before we get started with today's show, I wanted to remind you about the Adam Schefter podcast. Top executives, coaches, players, and the best analysts in the game all appear. Be sure to check it out. You can follow the Adam Schefter podcast, as well as the Mina Kimes show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. On top of that, baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. How about those Mariners? Actually, you know what? I'm not going to jinx it. Anyways, you can catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks a pro day means extra Purina. That's Lenny. I'm Mina Kimes, and I am joined today, taping on the heels of Trey Lance's second pro day, by Courtney Cronin, who's actually not that far from the pro day. Actually, am I doing the thing where people in coastal states assume you guys are all really close? How far are you from North Dakota State?
Probably 4.5-5 hours, but okay. You know, that's driving distance to most people in the Midwest. I mean, that's a hop, skip, and a jump to the north, so it's kind of close. It's not Canada.
So Courtney Cronin is based in Minnesota, where she covers the Vikings for us. You can also catch her on ESPN Radio. You've also been on my podcast. I think, did we preview the NFC North together last summer?
We did, back in July. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that was, I felt like having you on to talk about four teams wasn't enough. I had to have you on to talk about all 32, because this is one of my favorite exercises every year, ahead of the draft, going team by team, roster by roster, depth chart by depth chart. That's redundant, but you get the idea. And examining what are the team needs ahead of the draft, because you're not always going to draft for need. Of course, some teams will take the best player available. These needs are going to be in the minds of fans, and this is always really interesting because, you know, you see some things, you're like, oh wow, I didn't know that. They're actually pretty solid at that position. Or in the case of certain teams, Houston, you are like, oh my God, literally every position is on my chart right now. So we're going to cover every team, every division, including, of course, the Vikings. But I figured we would start with the NFC East, if that's all right with you. I'm like getting started. I dawdle a lot in the beginning, but this is like such an endeavor with all of these teams. I am just being, you know, a very professional person here and jumping right into it. And I'm jumping right into the NFC East. Let's start with Philadelphia. How's that? I don't know why I chose Philadelphia.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Number 12. All about it.
Okay. So yes, Philadelphia is speaking at 12, 37, 70, 84. Courtney Cronin, tell me, what do you think are the positions that Philadelphia needs to address?
Well, if they don't address wide receiver right away, I think that the entire city of Philadelphia will riot after seeing Justin Jefferson go one pick after Jalen Reagor last year to the Minnesota Vikings. Oof. To me, that is the most notable need that they have in trying to get Jalen Hurts to this next level to see if he truly is the guy for them at quarterback. So I think that when you look at what they did in free agency, all defensive additions, really their big ones are the two safeties they got in Andrew Adams and Anthony Harris. You're probably thinking at 12 that you're in a good spot to maybe get a Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith, potentially even maybe a Kyle Pitts. I mean, I don't know where he's going to fall, but I think in terms of skill players, pass catchers, that's where they need to go, at least right away at 12. Linebacker,
always
cornerback, offensive line too. I mean, you know, they lost DeSean Jackson in free agency, but that's like not their biggest loss. Like they lost Jalen Mills, Malik Jackson. Like they need to focus like some of their like later picks, like you were mentioning, some of those second, third round, mid day three picks on defense. Because like this is a team that's going through, I think in the next couple years, we're going to starting to see that roster turnover that we, you know, beyond what we're seeing right now from that Super Bowl team and just kind of the skeleton of what was there from 2017. But I think it starts with wide receiver. It's a team that was 4-11-1 last year. They're in a spot now at 12 where they could really capitalize on getting one of the top pass catchers in the draft.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I think it's really interesting because if Philadelphia had stayed at 6 overall, I think you might have said quarterback, right? We might have said that they're going to address that position. But dropping to 12, They signaled to the NFL that they're not interested in taking quarterback this year. Although, God, can you imagine if like, well, what if like Justin Fields drops to six and then Eagles fans have to watch as he passes by? Or frankly, you know, going from 6 to 12 to gain, it was a great deal for them. They got an extra first round pick in the trade. But, you know, this is a team that has really struggled to find that wide receiver. And in doing so, they basically said, okay, we're okay missing out on one, two, maybe more of the top pass catchers in the draft. So like, you know, Pitts and Chase and maybe Smith and Waddle. I don't know. So in some ways I like the trade a lot because they have so many holes on this team, but in other ways, you know, they are passing up on a bit of prestige. That said, wide receiver undeniably, and you know, linebacker, we don't even need to talk about. It's been such an issue for this team for so long. I think beyond that, like depth, you know, you talked about it's a team that Super Bowl roster got old really quickly. And like the offensive line, a lot of those guys are coming back, right, from injury. Really, the entire offensive line is. Andre Diller is coming back. Brandon Brooks had this season ending injury. Lane Johnson only played half the season. Those guys are going to come back. But you still probably want to add depth there, given the injuries and the aging. And the same with cornerback where and safety as well. I know that's like the whole secondary. But yeah, just because of it's a team that got old really quickly and I think needs to address all those positions. And the fact that they're not hitting quarterback makes that easier because they have the draft capital, as we've discussed. So, yeah. I think that's Philly's pretty clear cut, actually. They have some like pretty obvious needs.
Yeah, and like when you take a look at like second round quarterbacks, because that to me is the most intriguing thing outside of the top five, and it feels like every day the Jets and the 49ers, at least in terms of like silly season and seeing who's going where and which quarterback may go to which team and could potentially Justin Fields go 2 overall to New York and Zach Wilson end up somewhere else. Like, it's so much more intriguing to me to talk about the Davis Mills, the Kellen Mons, the Jamie Newmans, and figuring out, okay, a team with an ancillary need at that position, a team like Philadelphia, do they get involved in the mix for a day two quarterback, an early day three quarterback? But that's not something that they're going to address round one, even though at 12, I don't know. I mean, you talk about best player available and sometimes how the board falls. I don't put it past any team personally. If there is that situation where somebody falls to 12 and it's like, we could try to hit on our next franchise guy. The worst case scenario is Jalen Hurts is amazing. He's everything we thought he would be when we drafted him, and we have a first round pick that we can use as trade leverage someday. But I just don't see it happening with the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think that it is a need later in the draft for them to address.
Yeah, if any of the top five guys fall to 12, which is, of course, before New England, after Denver, so it's in that kind of sweet spot or whatever. If I was an Eagles fan, I would be furious if they didn't take one of the, like a Fields or a Lance there personally. Okay. Team that's not taking quarterback either. The New York Giants. I think this one's actually very straightforward. New York Giants who are picking 11. To me, offensive line, pretty much you could argue the entire offensive line, but really the right side, I think center, right guard, right tackle. I know Nate Solder's coming back, but I still think offensive line, Andrew Thomas, their rookie, obviously is going to come back and start at left tackle, but was, you know, they need help across the line that they didn't address that. They went out and got a bunch of wide receivers. And then I would go edge rusher. That's, you know, they paid Leonard Williams, who was part of that really rising defense last year. We can kind of talk about that, but outside of him, there's just not a lot of talent at edge. You know, he's defensive tackle. So to me, I thought it was something actually that they might address in free agency, but they didn't. They added Galladay, Adoree Jackson, Kyle Rudolph, Danny Shelton. And then, yeah, of course, they lost Kevin Zeitler. So those are the two big areas of need, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hasn't Dave Gettleman been talking about like adding an edge rusher and prioritizing that in the offensive line for quite some time now? And they just haven't been able to do it. Like, It's great, yeah, that you paid Leonard Williams in free agency. That's wonderful. But you also lost Dalvin Tomlinson, let him walk in free agency. You don't have, you know, you have Dexter Lawrence, but you don't have a whole ton of depth there at that position. So to me, edge rusher is the most obvious need for this Giants team. But in so many ways, this edge rusher class is not as good as previous years. So yeah. Where, like, do you stay where you are at 11 in the first round, or are you trying to, you know, pick up the phone, talk to a team like New England, talk to somebody else who wants to move up just outside the top 10 and potentially move back into like the mid to late teens, pick up some draft capital along the way and still get a Kwity Paye, still get a Jalen Phillips or, you know, a Gregory Rousseau later in the first round. If you're thinking about maybe adding some picks and being able to have a bigger draft class, like, this is not a team that builds through the draft, though. They love free agency, as we saw this past year, and, you know, in a way, overpaying, in my opinion, for Kenny Golladay, but obviously giving Daniel Jones the piece he needs. But, like, they're not a team that wants a 10-person draft class. They're fine with their, like, five or six that they'll get and not necessarily moving back. Maybe they'll stay at 11. But I think it's honestly, if edge rusher is your primary need, which I think it is for the New York Giants, and also, I mean, offensive line, you're in a spot there to potentially land Rashawn Slater. If Penei Sewell goes at 5 to Cincinnati, like most people think, and, you know, Rashawn Slater's a second tackle that would be coming off the board, that's probably the sweet spot to land him. But like, this just feels like a really good trade back spot, depending upon if you have anybody trying to move up to get a quarterback at 11. But I don't know. I mean, that's just going to depend how the top four quarterbacks, where they all go. If they're gone by 9, then New York probably stays 11 and, you know, is not fielding many calls for that draft spot.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But of course, Dave Gettleman does not trade back in the draft. No, so I think where they're picking, like, rather than you know, if they were to stay there, definitely Slater makes sense, right? Or, and you could even, you know, start him at guard and then kick him out to tackle after Solder moves on, for example. But that would be, to me, great value for that team. Okay, Washington football team. This is one of the more, I think, interesting questions. One very obvious of you need in my mind. What do you think are their biggest needs?
Well, I was kind of like perusing you know, some of the draft boards and kind of seeing what the mocks were saying, because Washington's been one that, for me, again, team talking about trade back. Like if Kyle Pitts fell to them, that one would be really interesting to me. You know, and where they're picking, I believe it's like 19, probably very unlikely to take a wide receiver. So I think with Washington, you know, what you're probably looking at is offensive line. Would a Christian Darrisaw potentially be there at 19?
Yes.
I don't know, though. I feel like
he will be. I meant that'd be great. I don't know.
Yeah, great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'd be great.
I was guessing left tackle. Yeah.
But it's like the guys that I think that are going to be like completely out of their range, they need a linebacker. They need a free safety. Micah Parsons is gone by that, like long gone by that point. You know, Trayvon, I think it's Mehring, Mooring, the guy, safety from TC.
Right? It's like a Mehring. Keurig coffee maker.
Yes.
Keurig's how you say it, right? That's how I've been remembering it. Keurig. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I mean, I think both of them will be gone by that point, but like, that's probably an offensive line. Like, they're probably going to end up going O-line in the first round, but like, they've got, you know, picks at 51, 74, 82. They've got a lot of early picks in the draft where they can probably hit on a number of different needs to be able to, you know, bolster their defense, their secondary, linebacker. That's probably like a day two pick for them. I think round one for Washington, though, is offensive line. And it's probably not one of the top tier tackles that'll be there at 19, but in Elijah Vera Tucker, potentially. Like, I don't know if some teams are going to look at that, you know, the guard tackle, what is he in the NFL? If you know, drafting him too high, like 19 kind of feels like a sweet spot for not considering a position like that as an overdraft for somebody who's probably projecting more as a guard in the NFL. So that's at least when I look at like O-line for Washington, probably where I'd like push them in that direction.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, we would have probably said quarterback, but Washington's made it pretty clear that they're not interested, or at least not making an effort. Like, they didn't even go to Trey Lance's pro day, for example, unlike New England and Denver. So they seem pretty content with Fitz this year. outside of offensive line. You know, you mentioned free safety, and that's an interesting one because Cameron Curl kind of came out of nowhere as a strong safety, but Landon Collins is also a strong safety. So there's a little bit of redundancy there. They did sign, they lost Ronald Darby, replaced him with, I think, an upgrade, William Jackson from the Bengals. And then, of course, they added Curtis Samuel. I still think wide receiver might be interesting for them with, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and then and Cam Sims, if they were to add like one more wide receiver, like a deep threat, I think that could be kind of fun for Fitzpatrick. But yeah, I think linebacker, left tackle, free safety are the main ones. So wrapping up the division with Dallas, I wrote just defense.
Yeah, all of it.
I mean, literally all of it. I guess if I had to prioritize it, it's probably corner, defensive tackle, edge, safety, then linebacker, but the whole defense needs help.
Yeah, like seriously, I think cornerback at 9 is probably like the safest pick that you could make of any team in the top 10. And they could be a candidate if somebody wants to like jump in and get a quarterback at that spot to trade back. But like a Pat Surtain, like I feel like every mock draft I look at has him or another cornerback going to Dallas. With that first round pick, this defense needs a lot of work. I mean, excuse me, they're at 10. If Surtain's there, yes. If J.C. Horn is there, yes. But I just don't know if they're going to make it past, let's say, like 8 or 9 potentially if Denver doesn't go with a quarterback. But their defense has just been like they were atrocious last year. Some of it was on play calling and scheme, but like they just need like a complete overhaul after spending so much of their like resources, on Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. Like they have all the focus now that they could possibly want on their defense. And they can, I think grabbing a defensive back in the first round is probably the smart play there. They've got picks at 44 and 75, and then they've got that comp pick in the third round, I believe at 99. Yeah. So you can walk away with a couple steals on the first 2 days of the draft to start fixing that defense.
Yeah, I agree. To me, like they should consider or like pick up the phone and hear what teams might give up for 10 because they have so many needs on defense and because I think that there's a lot of good cornerbacks and there are not a lot of good defensive linemen. So if Dallas was able to trade down and get Barmore and then instead of Surtain, like the 5th cornerback, I think that might be good value for them. Especially with Dan Quinn coming to town as defensive coordinator, that cover 3 scheme from Seattle, it's really important to have a front 4 that can generate a standard rush. And they truly, truly do not right now. I mean, the defensive tackles were just a nightmare last year. But, it really just depends on how the board shakes out. I would just say one thing also, like on offense, they don't need offense, but that offensive line, we saw just get so banged up last year. I think they might consider adding depth there early just because, Tyron Smith just does not start a full season anymore. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be, even though I know we're talking about defense, like, and everyone expects them to corner, I would not be shocked if they surprise everyone and get like a Slater or a tackle there.
I mean, tackle is a need for them. Like like you mentioned, I mean, Tyron Smith's getting old and you can't rely on him for an entire now 17 game schedule. So that's one that, if that could potentially be, if they go offensive tackle at 10, that could be 10 straight picks off the board. All offense to start the draft, which I don't know if that's ever happened. I'd have to like ask Sig about something like that. But that was just something to keep an eye on because they could potentially either be the first team to take a defensive player or just keep the trend going. And because everybody, at least in my opinion, above that, you'd expect to be taking an offensive player. Maybe not Denver, but like if those go 1 through 9 and then it comes to Dallas and you're looking at one of the top tackles. If, a Slater's there, I do believe that Darisaw would be there too. If they believe that that's their guy, then that could be 10 straight offensive players off the board on day one.
All right. The NFC South. So I'm going to start with the most obnoxious team. I don't hate this team, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have no needs. I guess defensive tackle, really the needs are just kind of like for the future. So if you're thinking about the future, defensive tackle, maybe wide receiver with Godwin on the tag, quarterback question mark, but that's it. Really obnoxious.
Yeah. I mean, if it never hurts to, at that point at 32, like addressing your trenches, right? Like if, I mean, yeah. At that point I've seen in like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's recent mock drafts that the run on tackles, like you have the first couple guys that the Sewell, Slater, Darisaw going before 10, before 13. And then there's kind of this lull between 14 and about like 20, 21. And then you'll start to see the project guys come off the board. Some, you know, guys who might need a little bit more time to develop maybe that quote unquote redshirt year. And that would be building for the future. That's where you can get an edge rusher too, or an interior pass rusher that at some point might be taking over for the guy, like all the guys that you just brought back, fulfilling every one of Bruce Arians' wishes in free agency, that you might be building, you know, for 2 years from now, potentially,
yeah.
You know, in that spot at 32. But like, I like the class that they have. I mean, I know you and I are talking about Trey Lance earlier, like, but Dylan Raddins, for example, the guy who like was protecting Trey Lance's blind side for all those, you know, for a couple of years at North Dakota State for the one game that everybody got to see this past year. Like, that is a prime spot, getting someone like that at 32 that you won't have play right now, but down the line, you already have somebody that you like in the system who's ready to take over.
Freaking Bucks, man. Their needs are next year. That's just
they're like unreal. They're the Chiefs of 2021, right?
It's crazy how good that roster is. Okay, Falcons, what do you got for Atlanta?
Well, I think Kyle Pitts is going to Atlanta, but then again, like I just can't, I don't know if I buy into the smokescreen that like they're so committed to Matt Ryan, right? Like,
so quarterback is
quarterback. Like, I just, okay. I feel like Pitts is the best. I mean, since there's such a shortage of like these dynamic athletic tight ends, of course, to be able to kind of bolster what they have for Matt Ryan. And certainly the injuries last year to Julio Jones didn't help matters in the passing game in Atlanta. So I either see it as Pitts being the first non-quarterback taken off the board at four, or they're going to go the stretch and the top four quarterbacks are gone, 1, 2, 3, 4. But quarterback, it's either quarterback or pass catcher with that first round pick. You know, beyond that for Atlanta, offensive line, probably a tackle or an edge rusher.
Edge is a need. I also have entire secondary. It's
yeah, cornerback, safety.
It's pretty ugly. Yeah. I mean, they picked AJ Terrell last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had his ups and downs. Okay. Pretty much all the rookie corners did. But they just need a ton of help at corner, at safety. They lost Keanu Neal. So I would say, you know, again, I don't know. They're picking at 4, 35, 68. We'll see what they do with that first draft pick. But they got to fix that. Whatever they do on the offense, they got to address that secondary. And then I also, yeah, you know, you mentioned Pitts. They have Hayden Hurst at tight end. But wide receiver is quietly, I think, in an area where they might need to address mm-hmm. their roster. Because Julio has been in and out of games over the last couple of years. Obviously, Calvin Ridley's amazing. But behind him, there's not a ton of depth. So yeah, it's interesting with the Falcons because I think a lot of who they pick will depend on what their timeline is. Like, are we competing now? And their timeline will be revealed to us. Well, with the fourth draft, we'll know very quickly, you know, whether they expect to compete and sort of how good they think their team is.
You just don't pick four all that often. Like, that's the thing right. that I'm looking at where Matt Ryan's 35 years old. Like, you may get another couple years out of him, but unless you're thinking, like, if you get another pass catcher, if it is Kyle Pitts to create this, you know, this trio, this, you know, the best one potentially in the NFC South and in the division and maybe even in the entire NFC between Julio Jones, if he can stay healthy, Calvin Ridley, and then, you know, slotting in, you'll have like two pretty good tight ends there. Because let's not forget, they still have Hayden Hurst. But beyond that, like, what is their timeline? Like, I think they're going to reveal that, like you said, but it's just, you don't draft at four all that often. And that's a spot where you're not drafting necessarily for need. Like, you take the best player you possibly can. So if it is a Justin Fields that's there at four, I don't see how you can pass that up. I really don't.
So the Saints, I think it's useful to start just to list the guys they've lost, because the great shedding has begun in New Orleans, and you know, which is a consequence of the all-in and nature of the roster and the cap and everything that's happened with the Saints over the last few years. And so you're beginning to lose not just depth, but starters. Drew Brees, of course, Trey Hendrickson, Janoris Jenkins, Emmanuel Sanders, Sheldon Rankins, Jared Cook, Alex Anzalone, all out the door. So going off of that, well, you could say quarterback. You know, they're picking 28, 60, 98. Maybe they'll take a flyer on, you know, Amon, Trask, or what have you. But to me, assuming that either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, I always do that, is the starter, I think wide receiver, because with Sanders gone, you need a number two. Corner, Jenkins gone. You know, Marshawn Lattimore is still there, kind of had his ups and downs. He's in a contract year. You got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's been very good. And then linebacker, I would say. I should have mentioned Quan Alexander as well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and they did extend DeMario Davis. So I think those are the kind of areas like where they have to address them now. And then after that, like, you're looking at guys like, I don't know, Marcus Williams, who was franchise tagged. Ryan Ramczyk, you're going to have to pay him. Teron Armstead is in a contract year. Once again, next year, they're not going to be able to keep everyone. So some of the picks they make now might be with an eye towards guys leaving next season.
Yeah, and I look at that, like, the sweet spot for them at 28 might be a Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver out of LSU, who you can pair as a number two with Michael Thomas, because you did lose Emmanuel Sanders. Like, that's probably where they'll go if they go offense. If not, again, end of the first round, I think we're going to start to see that run on defensive ends. This is a draft that has so many cornerbacks that I wonder if teams are going to think, okay, we can just start pushing back that need until day two, and then you'll start seeing a run similar to what we saw last year, where day two starts out hot and it's just cornerback, cornerback, cornerback off the board, and that goes through round three. But, like, you know, you talk about that depth factor that they just don't have because they've lost so much of it. It's not just starters, it's the guys behind the starters, you know. But who are you going to put out? Who are you going to put outside opposite of Cam Jordan? Because Trey Hendrickson's gone. You know, that's not a bad spot to be looking at a defensive end, another edge rusher. But I do think they will probably end up focusing offense in round one. But they do have that pick at 60 and then at 98 and 105 that if the edge rushers do come off the board in the way that we expect, that's a day two, day early day three need.
Yeah. And, you know, they have obviously drafted Marcus Davenport, but so much of the success of that defensive line was the depth that they had, being able to rotate guys in and out, along with defensive tackle. You know, they have David Onyemata, but they lost Rankins. So they've had so many great drafts recently. You know, this is now you're reaching a point where guys are starting to have to walk out the door. Okay. Panthers, last team in the division. What do you have as the positions they need to address?
Well, I personally think that it'd be fun to see them take a quarterback at eight, but I'm not going to say that that's like their most important position of need, considering what they just did 2 weeks ago, trading to get Sam Darnold. But offensive tackle, cornerback, like, very cut and dry for this team that just doesn't have, those are just not the positions that you can look at their roster and their depth chart right now and be comfortable with who they have. So, I mean, I think at eight, you'll probably end up with a Rashawn Slater, and that's your guy you put at left tackle for 10 years. And you say, okay, like, we're not going to worry about that position again. That they have a huge hole at left tackle. So you got to shore up the offensive line for Darnold. And by doing that with Slater, who can, you know, play either there or right tackle, or wherever you want to put him. I mean, he is the second best tackle in this class by and large. So I think that that's probably where you go. It seems like, to me, Carolina is very cut and dry here, like very glaring needs, considering the losses that they had in free agency and also kind of the holes on the roster.
Completely. They need a left tackle to protect Sam Darnold. You know, it would be lovely if Kyle Pitts fell to them because they also need a tight end, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I also think they've got some nice skill players in Carolina. They've got some nice edge rushers. Obviously, they had success drafting like Jeremy Chinn, but they need corners and they need to address the offensive line. They're one where I think they're very obvious holes. All right. NFC West. So San Francisco, we'll start there. So we're assuming quarterback. Yeah. It's a no-brainer. Outside of quarterback, this roster is pretty complete. When you do this exercise and you go through the depth charts, like going into this offseason, Courtney, I was like, dang, they're losing their entire secondary. Well, the whole secondary minus Richard Sherman came back. Now, that said, I still think they should probably draft a corner. Because like Jason Verrettana, it's Verrett. I never say his name right. Jason Verrett.
Yeah.
I never say his name right for some reason.
Anyways, he's only here of his deal, right?
Yes. One year. So he just re-upped for 1 year. So, you know, that's something they'll need to address. And you know, like they probably want to go a little bit younger there. They brought back, Emmanuel Mosley, who's young, but yeah, I think. And then the other position that jumped out to me is guard. You know, they brought back Trent Williams, but guard has been an issue on this offensive line for some time. With their young new quarterback, I think they got to protect him. So that's something I would address.
Yeah, I mean, you have Alex Mack, who you added in free agency, right. But that's not enough on this offensive line. That fixes your center position for now. But who do you have behind Laken Tomlinson at left guard? I don't know, not right now at least, but you know, your tackle spots are set, certainly with Trent Williams. That's a no-brainer. Mike McGlinchey, the first-round pick from 2018. You're set there. The interior of your offensive line beyond quarterback is probably the number one priority, and then going defense. You know, their safeties are getting kind of up there too. I mean, Jaquaski Tartt was, you know, second-round pick in 2015. Jimmy Ward was their first-round pick in 14. You might want to go younger there, but I think that those are, I wouldn't say necessarily luxury picks, but those are depth picks for now. But the interior of the offensive line could be one that you address now and pays a much quicker dividend for you than other positions, so to speak.
Who do you have for the Los Angeles Rams, who are not, of course, not picking in the first round?
Offensive line. And I think that day two, because I know that this team's not going to have a first round pick till I'm like 40 or 50 years old, which is fine. But interior of the offensive line, absolutely at tackle, probably tight end at some point, edge rusher, linebacker in that specific order. I know what they don't need. They don't need any, I mean, they've got a pretty good defensive core, you know, coming back. They don't need another safety. They don't need another running back. And they certainly don't need another quarterback. So basically anything outside of that, I think is fair game for this team because of where they're going to be picking in the later rounds, you know, beyond round one and kind of sitting quiet in their fancy little house that they have.
Malibu.
I mean, they'll be swimming in that pool on day one with all of the...
just chilling.
The product placement and the ads that we saw conveniently in that photo. But... I think cornerback could actually be like a sneaky need for them.
Yes,
like I said, because you know, with this class, I believe when we talked to Mel Kiper a couple weeks ago, he thinks upwards of 35 will get taken in this year's draft. And if I'm not mistaken, there was somewhere around 33 maybe drafted 1 through 7 last year. So it's going to be another massive cornerback class. Same thing with wide receiver. I mean, they could easily take a wide receiver given how many of them were expecting to be drafting in 2021.
I agree with all of the positions you identified. The one more I would throw in there is, well, you said, yeah, I mean, you named them all. Yeah. Receiver, I would say, you know, it doesn't appear like when you look at the roster, you're like, they're good. They're fine. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, amazing. But, and Van Jefferson, who they drafted last year. But I think that's more like having added Stafford. I know they signed DeSean Jackson, but we know he has trouble staying healthy. I think maybe at taking a flyer on a speedster at like 103 or something might be useful, especially there's a lot of really small, fast guys in this draft. And I think, you know, it just might be like taking advantage of Matt Stafford. Seattle, has one draft pick in the first two rounds, 56, first two rounds. So I actually think this one's pretty clear cut. Corner, they lost Shaq Griffin, signed with Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And then I have receiver for them.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I lost David Moore. And then center. That's a position I was hoping they would sign like a Corey Linsley or, you know, Arizona traded for Rodney Hudson. But instead they brought back Ethan Posich. That's, to me, after the Gabe Jackson trade, the weak spot on the offensive line. So I think those are the three areas they need to address the most.
Yeah. And I mean, where, you know, where they're picking, because they, you know, are one of the teams that, you know, like many don't have that first round pick. They probably could tap in on a cornerback. Where, you know, in getting good value, essentially, like that's, I'd probably go cornerback with them, wide receiver, like, you know, offensive line. Like, I think you can just continue to add, but you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be in that position where they were, you know, have been in previous years to, you know, tap in on some of those like top prospects. I mean, they're going to be building out effectively that roster at those key positions.
So who do you like or what positions, pardon me, do you see Arizona needing to?
Cornerback for sure. Cornerback for sure.
Number one.
Patrick Peterson left in free agency. And that's something, like, I'm not really sure how I feel about, like, Cliff Kingsbury developing defensive players. I really don't. I mean, so I think that if you try to, like, go get, like, one of the best prospects you can and kind of expect that that player is going to, like, do you a solid and just be, like, really darn good, you'll be in a good spot. So, I mean, Micah Parsons, like, you could, you know, he's kind of the, what is it, like, was it Isaiah Simmons last year who was the, you know, the jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife? I feel like Micah Parsons is probably that guy if they don't go cornerback, because you can just play him so many spots, like so many different spots. I know he's, you know, considered a linebacker, but he does so many more things. And I think he'd be really tough to pass up. I mean, he's one of the best run defenders in, you know, recent years. And he's a great pass rusher. So if you want somebody that's, you know, occasional and a third down pass rusher, that's an option. And he's just like such a good prospect that at 16, if he's there, that's a no brainer for me. But I still think cornerback is probably like their number one need. And then beyond that, interior of the offensive line. I mean, you can also add some skill guys. I mean, they need a running back, tight end, wide receiver, probably a little bit like this, maybe like a day three need, which they could address there considering how many they're going to be at that spot. But that's where I'd go.
Yeah, I'm with you that corner is, it's corner, corner, corner. It's been a problem with this team for a long time, and was for, you know, they had trouble finding someone to play opposite Patrick Peterson, and then Patrick Peterson got old, and that's obviously they gave Buda Baker that huge contract, and that's worked out. But corners, massive need. And then I actually think wide receiver is a big need for them, Courtney, because I'm just
Larry's
not
getting old.
Yeah. Well, we don't even know if
he's, I know, right?
If he's coming what his deal is. But AJ Green is also old. I mean, and last year, I think it was just so frustrating. There was no real secondary option emerged for DeAndre Hopkins next after DeAndre Hopkins. Tight end along those same lines. You know, I don't think where they're picking at 16, you know, there's obviously you're not going to take a tight end there. But later in the draft, that might be something I hit or that they should hit. All right. The NFC North, your division. We will wrap with the Vikings for this half. We got to getting through the NFC. I'll speed it up. I always do this. Packers, I've got wide receiver, corner, linebacker.
Yes.
Those are the big three.
So effectively, their first need, their most important need from last year is their most important need this year because they didn't address it last year, and they really can't get away with not addressing bringing in a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. I think wide receiver, defensive tackle, cornerback. That's the order in which I would go for Green Bay. And at 29, you know, that's their first round pick. They've got one at 62 and 92. I think wide receiver, maybe a Kadarius Toney. That's a good spot for someone like that. You need, like, you just need more weapons for Aaron Rodgers. I know we say that every year, and somehow he, like, makes, you know, makes magic out of what he has, but I just don't know if you can get away with that this year in not addressing getting him another weapon early on.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, corner is, like, this continuous problem with the team, or pardon that corner, linebacker, I meant to say. They brought Kevin King, who was, of course, struggled in the championship game and had that tough game. But yeah, I think the secondary, absent that one cornerback position, is in good shape. They just need corner and then linebacker. I would also add maybe a defensive tackle to add on with Kenny Clark.
One thing on Green Bay, it's like you have really good players. You have a star. I mean, Davante Adams, I think, is arguably top three receiver in the NFL. But who do you have beside him? Jaire Alexander, arguably a top five cornerback in the NFL. Who do you have playing beside him? Like, they have these star pieces. It's just there's no complementary piece. So that's always been my issue, at least with Green Bay the last couple of years. But I digress.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, Alan Lazard, he's pretty good. And Marcus Valdes-Scantling had moments, but they clearly – we'll see. 29-62, it'll be interesting to see how they deploy the picks. I think it'll have a lot to do with just kind of who falls in that first round. The Bears, yeah. Quarterback. Also wide receiver, also cornerback after Kyle Fuller walked out. And then I have tackle, offensive tackle, and safety. God, that's a lot of positions. Okay.
Well, yeah, no, they've got a lot of needs. And where they're picking, because I know they were in for at least a hot second on trying to get Russell Wilson, and Andy Dalton is allegedly, according to their Twitter account, QB1 for now.
QB1.
But do we believe that that's going to be the case? No, I do not. I believe that for them, where they're picking, it's kind of a tough spot to think that they're going to have somebody fall to them that at 20. So if you can get up into, I don't know, the top 15, like if a Mac Jones was there at 15, I don't, in New England hasn't moved, or, you know, maybe pick another spot, because New England's making my head hurt right now. But like they need to get a quarterback. This is it for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. They don't fix that position, and Andy Dalton's not the answer. But they lost because of, you know, some of the salary cap clearing that they had to do in order to, you know, their very expensive defense, and also trying to land Russell Wilson, which they failed to do. Like, I mean, they lost Mitchell Trubisky, which maybe you think is a loss, maybe you don't. But Kyle Fuller, Roy Robertson Harris, Barkevious Mingo, like a lot of pieces that were, you know, starting pieces of their defense, because they had a good rotation going too, are gone now. So what are they going to do as far as, like, you know, some of those guys who play in the middle of the field, or excuse me, the middle of their defensive line, like, how are you going to replace them? But I would say quarterback, offensive line, and then wide receiver, cornerback, in that order.
So the Lions have just as many, if not more, needs. So try to limit the number of positions. What do you think is most important?
Wide receiver and cornerback. Yeah. Like, offensive line, where they're picking, you can build for the future. I mean, you could potentially get a Slater or a Christian Darrisaw, you know, in the top 10 for sure. But
pretty nice wide receiver there.
Yeah, you could get a really good wide receiver. You could get a, you know, potentially a Jamar Chase, a Devontae Smith, maybe even somebody else that I'm not thinking of at the moment, a Jaylen Waddle. Like, I mean, there's a lot there, but they chose not to pay their guys in free agency. And obviously, you know, with Kenny Golladay going to the Giants, I mean, that's a big hole that needs to be filled. So wide receiver is the most blatant one for me with the Lions, but also cornerback too. I mean, they've lost a lot of pieces, and it was kind of that slow fade of like everybody leaving the Matt Patricia system, you know, over the last couple of years, kind of the departures that, you know, went in droves. They need to replenish their secondary at the cornerback spot for sure.
Yeah, the hope is just that what we saw to Jeff Okudo was a lot of Matt Patricia's doing. So, and that he can bounce back under, you know, a new defensive coordinator with them, Aaron Glenn from New Orleans. And so, and Dez Trufant left, Justin Coleman left, obviously Golladay with Jared Davis, just a bunch of guys left. I think all those positions, I also have guard, linebacker, and then you get into sort of the next level of needs. They did bring back Romeo Okwara, so edge is a little bit lower there. And then, you know, like quarterback, it's like, I think they should consider it, but I don't know if they will, but they probably
Justin
should. But
there at seven, would you take him?
Absolutely.
Like, because there's going to be a lot of teams too that are calling them.
Yeah, it's a very desirable spot right now.
So if you don't take a quarterback, like, I mean, you could, like we said, you could take a wide receiver there, but if Fields is there, I think you're tempted to take him.
I think if they, speaking of the trade down, if they can, if a team wants to leapfrog Carolina, heck, and they can get to like 9 or 15, they should absolutely consider that given all the needs they have. All right, Minnesota.
I mean,
this is your account.
This is, yeah, it's my territory. Offensive line, in my opinion, is the most important priority that they have because you have a massive hole. Massive holes on the left side. Riley Reiff leaves in free agency. You bring back Dakota Dozier, who was your starting left guard, who was the worst guard in the NFL statistically by PFF last year. And now he's your, what? I don't know. Maybe you're slotting him in to play left guard. I don't know. You sent a 6-round pick to Arizona as a comp pick for Mason Cole, who was also not very good. So I don't know what you're doing on the left side of the offensive line. So if I was looking at drafting at 14, if you can go offensive line, great. But they may be looking at it that the top three tackles will be gone by that point, and they'd think someone like Elijah Vera Tucker is a reach. So it's prime trade down territory for Rick Spielman if they don't end up staying there and then getting an edge rusher. That to me, opposite Danielle Hunter, feels like Mike Zimmer is going to be trying to push the buttons on draft night, considering they guaranteed over $41 million to defensive players, either through reworked contracts with Anthony Barr or all the free agent additions that they had. I mean, he said it's the worst defense he's ever had after that game against the Saints in November or in December, and I fully believe that he is not done retooling his defense, that they would probably do that.
Isn't his son that was the defensive coordinator last year?
Co-defensive coordinator, yep.
That is brutal. I just have one question. Is Danielle Hunter actually going to be on the Vikings?
Well, they tell us he is.
Because I wrote offensive line edge, but then I wrote question mark.
Yeah. I mean, okay. It would be, you want somebody to play opposite Hunter. They signed Stephen Weatherly in free agency, but that's probably not your like solid your solid starter opposite Hunter, unless you're thinking of a rotation with DJ Wanham, who they had as a fourth round pick, last year. I think that they'd want to upgrade that, and where they're picking literally smack dab in the middle of the draft, that's probably a prime spot for edge rusher over offensive tackle, just the way that I think the board's going to fall.
All right. Well, our board is going to take a break right now, and then we come back, we're going to zoom through the AFC.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow, MinaShow.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, so the AFC East, let's start with, I said the Bucs don't have many needs, an obnoxiously low number of needs. I would say Buffalo is close, except I actually do think they need an edge rusher. I also have defensive tackle, corner, that's really about depth. Do you agree with those? Are there any other positions you'd throw in?
Cornerback. That's probably their round one need. And then I'd say edge rusher beyond that. Those are probably like the two bigger needs that they have for their defense. But you could probably throw a running back in there at some point. I mean, they're pretty stacked still. And if Josh Allen can play at the level he played last year, you just add like another like wide receiver, maybe a scat back in there somewhere. And you'll have a pretty good offense again. It's just, you know, replenishing cornerback and edge rusher in your defense to kind of keep things rolling.
So who do you have for New England or what positions?
I have quarterback. And if there's anything that bite we've all heard of Bill Belichick talking last week where it was like 45 seconds and I'm like, ooh, there's a lot of words in here. He must have said something important. And then I listened back to it like five times. I'm like, damn, he didn't really say much. But if there's anything he revealed, it's that if he sees somebody who could be your franchise quarterback, he will not be afraid to trade up to go get him. So if it is a Justin Fields and they can move from, let's say, 15 into the top 9, you know, Carolina's a spot they could call. Obviously, we just talked about Detroit, maybe even Denver. Quarterback for sure. Also, linebacker. I mean, they do have a bunch of additions coming back on defense from the opt-out year. That this is what they dealt with. They lost, had so many losses last year just because of guys opting out because of COVID. And then also wide receiver.
Yeah, even with, I'd say, you know, they obviously signed a ton of guys in free agency, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, tight ends. It's definitely not a position they don't need. Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar. So they did improve their skill players, but that I still think that they should consider drafting a wide receiver. I agree with you about, you know, quarterback, linebacker, even with Hightower coming back, he's getting up in the years, Kyle Van Noy. And then I have, corner. It seems like they're keeping Stephon Gilmore, and you know there's been rumors that they might trade him, tag J.C. Jackson. But you know, I think that is another area. Like the Patriots are kind of built back to front; they tend to invest in their secondary, and I think that's an area they could hit in the draft again. Patriots, Southeast, Miami, another team that's built back to front. I've got offensive line across the board. Wide receiver, even though I know they did add Will Fuller, I think when they traded up to 6, they had either Pitts or a wide receiver in mind, or Sewell. Actually, I should say that when I mentioned offensive line, you know, if the Bengals don't take Sewell, they must take Sewell, but one of those players. And then beyond that, I think just kind of front 7, edge, linebacker come to mind.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to want, since Tua is their guy, that to me is very clear that even at 6, when they could potentially take a quarterback because of where they switched the spots with the Eagles, I still think that if you miss out on Kyle Pitts and you miss out on Ja'Marr Chase, it's not an overdraft at that point to go Jaylen Waddle. You pair him back with somebody that he knows in Tua Tagovailoa. And it's kind of like what the Bengals could effectively be doing with Joe Burrow and getting him somebody that he played with before in Ja'Marr Chase. If they don't take Penei Sewell, but nonetheless, yeah, you're right. I mean, those are probably the biggest needs. Edge rusher for me beyond wide receiver, interior of the offensive line, more weapons, you know, just fill up your backfield, get another tight end in there. Those will work.
Yeah. Outside of Emmanuel Ogba, there's not that much at edge. So I do think they need to address the pass rush. Okay. Jets.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one need. Yeah.
I think they're going to hit that.
Let's hope so. Let's hope this is not like the Mike Maccagnan Jets that just make your head spin. I would say that offensive line across the board is next.
Yes.
Cornerback, edge, and then pass catchers.
So everything. No, I'm just kidding. That's pretty much exactly what I have. Offensive line outside of left tackle, Mekhi Becton. They need to hit offensive line, and then cornerback. Like you said, safeties, they're pretty set with Marcus May and Bradley McDougald. Corner is just, whew, that is a tough scene with the Jets. So they absolutely need to address that. Yeah, I think that one's pretty straightforward as well. Pass catcher, you know, it's like they sign Corey Davis. And of course, up front, they sign Carl Lawson, but Davis, Keelan Cole, Tevin Coleman. So they added a few skill players. So maybe in that sort of next phase of free agency. All right, that's the AFC East. Moving on to, let's do the AFC North next. I think let's start with Baltimore because I think Baltimore is very clear. I've got wide receiver, edge, and then right tackle. And that's pretty much it. Like that is it for me. Because and right tackle, by the way, is assuming that they're going to trade Orlando Brown, who mm-hmm. we've been told wants to be traded because he wants to play left tackle. But yeah. those three positions are just glaring needs to me.
Tackle, I think, is number one. If Ronnie Stanley is going to stay, obviously, at left tackle, you have that hole. If they do end up trading Orlando Brown, whether it's on draft night as part of a package of picks or whether it's later on. And also, I mean, another, you know, Kevin Zeitler at some point, you're going to need to, you know, I mean, obviously, like where he is in his career, I think depth on the interior of the offensive line is probably not like a primary need. I'm just saying like maybe like later on, if we can like check the boxes here with everything the Ravens need to do. Edge rusher, safety, wide receiver.
Yeah, pretty much, right? I mean, lost Matthew Judon, Yannick Ngakoue. Wide receiver has been an ongoing need for this team. They did add Sammy Watkins, but no brainer. All right, Browns.
I mean, honestly, like
another stacked roster.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, edge rusher would have been my first thought. And I'm like, well, they just, you know, what they've done with their defensive line and getting Jadeveon Clowney, I don't know. Like, I was going to say, like, the interior of the defensive line, edge rusher. But that's now great. I think it's probably cornerback and wide receiver and then linebacker.
I agree. Yeah, they cut Sheldon Richardson. So that's that.
You need like a three technique, like a true three.
Yeah. So that's one. I don't think Barmore falls to them. He would be good. But yeah, once that was kind of a surprising cut to me. And once they made that, I was like, okay, you got a need. But otherwise, I totally agree with you. Cornerback, you know, they've got guys coming back. I mean, the secondary, so we've got Denzel Ward. Greedy Williams can come back from injury. And then, of course, they sign John Johnson, Troy Hill from the Rams. Grant Delpit comes back from injury. These are all players who, like, hypothetically could be good. But we just haven't seen them mm-hmm. together. And then linebacker's just been like, it seems like an ongoing need here.
Yeah, I agree with
that. All right. How about the Bengals? I have offensive line. So offensive line's interesting, right? Because technically, I'd actually love to hear your thoughts on Riley Reiff in particular. Riley Reiff. Because they signed him and he said he's playing right tackle. And everyone's like, well, all right. So Jonah Williams is the left tackle. So are you not going to draft Penei Sewell? So it's very confusing. Obviously, they still need to address the offensive line. On top of that, I have a deep threat wide receiver for Joe Burrow, a corner having lost William Jackson, aforementioned, and linebacker. But what do you make of this offensive line scenario?
So I know Reef was adamant when he signed there as a free agent that he was going to play right tackle, which is kind of hilarious when you think about it, because he played left tackle in Minnesota after being drafted as a right tackle to play in Detroit many moons ago, which is it's just like, was he unhappy all the years he was here as a free agent playing left tackle? I mean, who knows? But if that's the case, I mean, personally, I still think you at that your top five, you take best player available. You take the best guy on the board. And if that is Ja'Marr Chase in your mind, sure. I mean, you have a deep threat. You have somebody who's going to pair well with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. You give Joe Burrow all the options he needs. But I still think that offensive line should be where you're looking here, because Sewell's not, I mean, Sewell, if they're saying he is this once in a generation process, or, you know, I don't know if I truly believe that. I don't know if we've seen enough. I mean, he had the opt-out year and all those things. I also think that term is kind of thrown around loosely with a lot of prospects. But he is. I mean, he's been doing this since he was like 17 years old. We've had this body of work to look at Penei Sewell. So I would take him regardless of what you're doing on the offensive line as of right now. And, you know, Riley Reiff's, you know, 32, he's not going to be there forever. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with going Sewell, but I could see them going Pitts. So tight end, wide receiver, just giving Joe Burrow everything he needs in this bounce back year from injury to create a more explosive offense.
Yeah, tight end is another. I probably should mention that as well. And if Pitts is there, okay, who do you got for the Steelers?
Well, where do you want to start? I mean, I feel like they've got a couple needs on their defense. I mean, they're secondary. They don't need a safety, but they need cornerbacks. So for me, it's like, well, where do you prioritize the other stuff that they have with linebacker and edge rusher interior of the defensive line. It's probably like day two and day three. So for me, it's offensive line early on and then running back. But I don't know if you're going to use a day one pick on a running back. So I'm probably looking at the offensive line.
Wait, if they use the day one pick on a running back, given the state of their offensive line, yes, Nerd Twitter will absolutely lose their minds. And they should, because holy smokes. The offensive line is a situation. I think that was, to me, one of the biggest, like, oh no moments going roster by roster. Like, once you look at this offensive line, and which of course struggled a lot last year as well, but whew, they got old super quickly. I don't think Alejandro Villanueva is actually technically re-signed. I might be wrong, but DeCastro missed a few games last year. Matt Filer left. Marquise Pouncey retired. It is just not a good scene. I would just throw quarterback out there as well, frankly. I don't think they're going to address it. Ben's coming back, but...
Didn't they just re-sign Josh Dobbs? Aren't all their problems answered?
There you go, Josh Dobbs. And they have Dwayne Haskins in there competing.
They do. I'm actually really excited about that underrated storyline of, like, quarterback movement this offseason. Yeah. I'm excited for Dwayne's second chance to see if he takes advantage of it.
More likely not. He's going to get a shot to play. So maybe not for a game, but maybe inside of a game, you know? So I think that's big. And then cornerback, they lost a couple of their pieces there. Mike Hilton, Steven Elsa. So, all right. AFC South. So another roster that I was kind of surprised by how depleted it was. And I'll start the Titans. Just looking through. So lost, their first round pick, Isaiah Wilson, offensive lineman, you know, that's a whole Google it. It's a situation. So he's gone. Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, Jonnu Smith, Desmond King, Dennis Kelly, Malcolm Butler, Adam Humphries. Wow. I mean, they added Bud Dupree and Nico Autry. And did I say Janoris Jenkins? No, they added Janoris Jenkins. Sorry. I think wide receiver suddenly became an issue for them in a hurry. Behind AJ Brown, tight end as well, corner. And while they added those edge rushers, I would bolster that. And then right tackle. Yeah. That's a lot of positions.
They added Kendall Lamb to play right tackle. I think if you're like looking at a depth chart, he's probably who you slot in right now. He's came from Cleveland, but I don't think that's your answer there. Pass catcher for sure. I mean, behind AJ Brown, I mean, you've got like guys whose names I've never even heard of, to be quite honest with you, as I'm like looking at their depth chart now.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Not great. But tight end and wide receiver for them are the primary offensive needs, and then cornerback, because, you know, their secondary got depleted. I mean, losing Adoree Jackson, losing Desmond King, that alone is a big hit. So that's where you go. I mean, edge rusher too. I know you added Bud Dupree and free in like the second, third wave, whatever you want to call it, a free agency, but I would still probably look to maybe add, you know, some defensive tackle depth, but certainly some edge rusher depth on day three would be a good addition for them.
So a team with, I think, fewer needs, but more obvious, or just they have a few obvious needs. Yep. Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. They were, offensive line. I mean, Anthony Costanzo and, you know, the retirement. Like, I remember when I was an intern in Indianapolis, the year that he was drafted, it was like, oh, okay, let's do Anthony Costanzo's draft night. And it was the last I ever heard of him until he retired, because that's what you do when you take a first-round tackle who you leave there for, like, 9 years or whatever it was, and then you end up 9 years later needing to replace your franchise left tackle. So... That's who I would do. I know they signed Sam Tevai from the Chargers. You know, they've got a really decent interior of the offensive line. Certainly Quentin Nelson's not going anywhere. Ryan Kelly's still pretty good at center. But, you know, that's something that I would address early on. Wide receiver and cornerback. They're not a team that has like a bunch of glaring holes. Maybe you're looking at quarterback, right? Like down the line. Like, I mean, Carson Wentz doesn't need to do too much this year. He's trying to do too much last year, but it's like Do you think that that's something, a day three need that they're saying, well, just in case, depending upon how that board falls with some of those like project type quarterbacks, but is he somebody who can handle a project type? I don't know. After the Jalen Hurts experiment in Philly. But
I suspect they don't. They probably should consider, but I don't think they will. I would just throw edge rusher into there as well. You know, they lost, I mentioned DeNico Autry. It's still unclear what Justin Houston is still a free agent right now, but they need someone to help DeForest Buckner on that defensive line. So I think that might be, you know, they're picking at 21, which I think it's a position where either edge or left tackle. It, you know, just depends on how the board shakes out, so to speak. I also think they are a team to potentially trade for Orlando Brown if that ends up being a thing. I wrote down Washington, Carolina, Indianapolis, Minnesota as maybe contenders for his services. So, Jacksonville. So I've got quarterback, obviously, tight end, offensive line. I wrote right tackle. I think getting someone to replace Jawan Taylor would be nice, and safety. It's interesting, Courtney, because his defense was so awful last year, but when I look at it, like, there's a lot of talent. Like, they've got all these pass rushers, Josh Allen, Clavin Chason. Then they have CJ Henderson, who looked decent at times at corner. They signed Shaq Griffin. They paid Rayshon Jenkins a little bit too much money. But, and then the Miles Jack and Joe Schobert are at linebacker. So they've got players. They just weren't very good. So I think, you know, I could see them addressing some of those positions, but I also think they probably want, they're probably going to focus on helping their young quarterback.
Yeah. And when you mentioned tight end first, I mean, yeah, they did sign Tyler Eifert. They signed, I think it was a Chris Manhertz from Carolina. I mean, they have depth, but like Tyler Eifert and his health issues are a serious
problem.
Is he
still playing?
I mean, as far as I know, yeah. So, I mean, there's, I think, a need for them there. Tight end is so bleak right now. Like, if you look across the league, there's just, like, not a lot of, like we said earlier, like, not a lot of dynamic guys. So, you probably want to look there. Wide receiver. Where else? I mean, running back. I know that Urban Meyer, when he was talking about, like, the process with free agency and just, like, not liking it because he hasn't been able to, like, tell the, you know, the makeup and the feel of these guys that he's just signing with their, you know, absurd amount of cap space, but they have a lot of money. They had a lot of money to spend in free agency and they still have a lot of cap space. Like, I don't know what other free agents are still out there. If there are any at safety or wide receiver, I mean, there's still surprisingly a couple of veteran wide receivers that they could pick up off the market, but that's probably beyond quarterback after they get Trevor Lawrence in there and give him every possible thing he needs to succeed. Offensive tackle, wide receiver, running back, safety, cornerback, and tight end in that mix too.
Texans.
You saved the worst for last.
It's every position, man. I don't know. I mean, you can, what do you think's the most important, I guess, beyond, I mean, so putting a pin in quarterback, which we're waiting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson, allegations of sexual misconduct. It depending on how that shakes out, they did bring in Tyrod Taylor, probably is not a position they're going to address in the draft.
No.
Or at least certainly not high. What positions do you think are most important for this team?
Do you want to replace J.J. Watt? Like, is that, you know, that's probably something that you should. I mean, you lost him. You lost Benardrick McKinney. You lost, you know, the only guy from, like, those good Texans teams. Let's use the word good relative because they were, like, first-round exits for most of the Bill O'Brien era. Like, Whitney Merciless, I think, is, like, the longest tenured player on their defense, if I'm not mistaken, of guys that were actually drafted by the Texans and still remain. So they're kind of a mess, I think, all over that they're, you know, their front seven. So I'd say outside linebacker is probably like a big one for them. But, you know, beyond that, quarterback, anywhere in the interior of their defensive line with, you know, nose tackle, you know, anybody in that, you know, the Lovie Smith is going to be changing that defense and kind of what he wants to see. So I'm curious about the prototypes he has playing in his front seven and if those guys are still on the roster. I mean, they've got the likes of, you know, Ross Blaylock, who was their second round pick last year, Charles Omena, who's still around. But are those guys that you really want? Like, they don't have a first round pick. So you're going to be looking kind of at day two and figuring, all right, well, what's left? Where's the run starting? Should we potentially go cornerback here? I mean, they made the addition in free agency. They were signing like free agents left and right. I think I lost track at like 25 when, you know, they added like, you know, Terrence Mitchell, Jordan Jenkins, Christian Kirksey, Desmond King. But those are just like four names. I couldn't tell you the rest of them because it's a long list. And clearly Nick Caserio wants competition at every spot. But how you replace J.J. Watt, how you replace Will Fuller, start there. Those are the two most important needs, in my opinion. If Deshaun Watson and Tyrod Taylor, whomever, the guy from Cincinnati that they brought in to potentially, I don't even know his name offhand, the other quarterback. Like, that offense needs a lot of work, too, in the offensive line. I mean, Deshaun Watson got sacked a bunch last year. Go get help.
I think it's like best player available. Just take the best guys you can get. And, you know, with the Texans, it's like more like who is good on the team rather than where are the holes. Like, you know, you're kind of looking at, okay, well, Laremy Tensel, Brandon Cooks at wide receiver. Jordan Akins, not bad, tight end. The safeties are decent. So you start from there and you see what you can do. All right, AFC West, final division. We'll start with the Chiefs. So I've got Chiefs' most pressing need is, of course, offensive tackle. You know, they went out, so they released Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. They added Joe Tooney and Kyle Long, who are guards. I think there is some belief that they have replacements in-house, but I still think that's an area they need to address. And then beyond that, I go edge. I actually go wide receiver. I think Sammy Watkins left. I do think that they might be in the market for a wide receiver 3 and then linebacker.
Offensive tackle, because of all the issues that they had in the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that's the reason they lost the Super Bowl, but I think that that's something that you need to shore up with the injuries and just kind of the unknowns at that position. Wide receiver, linebacker, and then probably tight end. That for me, for the Chiefs, is where I'd look.
Tight end is an interesting one.
Yeah.
I guess, you know.
Behind Travis Kelce, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. No, it'd be nice to have also, not just behind Travis Kelce, but next to Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Could be kind of nice. All right. Who do you have for the Chargers?
For the Chargers, it's the no-brainer one is offensive tackle. So 13.
There's a lot of teams that need offensive tackles, true, by the way. Just as we're going through these, I'm like, oh, man. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Right. They're in a good position, though, to get one.
Yeah, if you can get Christian Darrisaw there, that's a no-brainer. Edge rusher, and then, you know, replenish your secondary because it's a damn mess right now.
Let's see. Who do I have? Yeah, corner, left tackle, defensive tackle, pretty much it. They have lost a fair amount of players, I think. You know, nothing too meaningful, but I think it starts and ends with the offensive line.
You've got to like protect your franchise quarterback. That to me that's the no brainer with that team, in kind of what they can do going forward. But a day three pick at tight end, you can get the tight end from Notre Dame, for example. You know, Tommy Tremble. That's a good one. Getting a second round cornerback, like there's ways for them to, you know, protect and do everything you need to do for Justin Herbert. But beyond that, like putting pieces on the defense as well. Edge rusher is another one I would do on day two.
Corner is really important after obviously cutting Casey Howard. I think, you know, that's probably the next priority, I would say, after left tackle. Denver, I have quarterback, linebacker, safety, cornerback. Not a lot of holes.
No.
Outside of quarterback.
Quarterback's the big question mark there. And it's, you know, after Sam Darnold ended up with the Panthers, I was kind of wondering what they want to do. George Payton's obviously the new GM there and trying to figure out, you know, what he wants. Like, is Drew Locke his guy? Or could they potentially be looking to take a quarterback at 9? I don't know. As far as like who would be there at 9 for them, just depending upon like if Mac, let's say like how everything goes kind of the way that we've been talking, where it's like quarterbacks gone, let's top four are gone by either 4, 5, or 6 or what have you before they pick at 9. Do you reach? Would you consider that a reach for Mac Jones at 9? I don't know. I just don't know what they think of him in Denver, but like, you know, they fixed a lot of their things that they needed to defensively. Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, yes. That addresses your cornerback situation. And even, you know, Mike Boone, who's a guy that, you know, was very far down the depth chart at running back here in Minnesota. George Payton clearly liked him enough to want to, you know, keep him on the roster or to bring him over to Denver to, you know, allow him to be on the roster, that running back spot. But probably outside linebacker and guard are other ones I would consider for the Broncos.
It's really remarkable how this team is a quarterback away. And it is also interesting, by the way, Courtney, like they're very quiet. Like, you're right. We don't really know. Like, we're hearing all these whispers. The Niners like Mac Jones, and then they like Trey Lance. Atlanta likes Lance and then Fields. Broncos have been quiet, and they're the team that, again, given the fact that I truly believe they're a quarterback away, they should, I believe this is the team they should trade up. You have been in quarterback hell. Do whatever it takes. Get Fields or Lance, because I think Mac Jones is going to go third. Do whatever it takes, man. So we'll see. All right, final team, the Las Vegas Raiders. What do you got?
Well, all of a sudden, you had all these defensive needs, and then John Gruden's kind of like, let's just get rid of the offensive line while we're at it. So
just the right side of it. Just the center through the right side.
So yeah, like maybe a center, maybe a right guard. Another offensive tackle would be nice. Beyond that, though, I mean, that to me is your priority. Probably you're looking at the interior of the defensive line and then linebacker and safety.
It's a lot of positions. But yeah, and corner, I threw a corner out there, but otherwise I agree with all of it. You know, they cut Maurice Hurst, which was kind of surprising to me. They've had a lot of turnover on the roster because they, as you mentioned, just disposed of the entire right side of the line. They lost Aguilar, Tyrell Williams, Hurst, but then they added Yannick Ngakoue, sort of addressing edge, which is why we didn't say that. Kenyon Drake for reasons. John Brown, Willie Snead, Solomon Thomas. I still think they need to address the D-line. So yeah, it really, the offensive line thing is like a massive mystery to everyone, but I think at 17, they might go corner too. I don't know, but that's a big area of need for them. Woo, we did it. That's the entire NFL. That is every team.
I hope every GM was listening.
Wow. Okay. Well, as always, one would think that's it, but it's not, because we've got 5 more questions for our guest.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Courtney, first question is about who else? Kirk Cousins. I've taken to calling Mac Jones Kirk's second cousins. Some people think that's an insult. It's not. I think Cousins is good. Where do you think Kirk Cousins ranks amongst NFL quarterbacks? You can give me a range if you don't want to give me an exact number.
He's a top 15 quarterback. I think that you can win with a top 15 quarterback, but in the case of the Vikings, when you take away the entire left side of his offensive line, you're not helping him any. Like, I know that Mike Zimmer looks at the defense and says that, well, this was the weak link. This was my baby. It's not where it needs to be. It's not where it was the last couple of years. You still have to protect your quarterback who, yeah, he's got some mobility. He can bootleg. Like, he can do a lot of things that, you know, when we talk about Mac Jones, I've never really understood the full Kirk Cousins comparison, because Mac can't bootleg the way that, I mean, Kirk is really a really good play action quarterback. That's one thing that like Mac Jones is like a throwback to not being, of like throwback to like that different, like an older era of just being like a traditional pocket passer. So I don't truly understand like the full comparison, but nonetheless, I think Kirk is a top 15 quarterback, but you need to make sure that you have pieces around him that make him able to perform at a top 15 level.
Why are you putting that respect on Kirk Cousins' mobility? Love it. All right. Second question. what is something you want to happen on draft night just for chaos purposes?
I want to see, and it's not like anything against Mac Jones, but I want to see some quarterback chaos. Like the fact that like we keep, you know, the trade happens with the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Eagles, and that shakes up the draft order, right? And then immediately you assume, okay, it's Mac Jones. Well, what if it ends up being Zach Wilson? Because what if the Jets end up pulling a fast one and taking Trey Lance? And then Justin Fields goes somewhere in the top 10. Like, what if Mac Jones stumbles to, like, late 20s? That would be chaos. That'd be like Brady Quinn-style chaos, and I love seeing that. Not to hurt anybody's feelings. If you're the quarterback sitting there in the green room in Cleveland crying, I don't want to see that. But, like, I want to see some chaos with the quarterback position.
The last one I remember feeling really bad about was Lamar when he was in the green room. And then, of course, it
him and his mom. Fun. Yeah, I love that.
And the mom, and they were falling asleep. And now it's so nice to look back on because it's, like, this great story. I mean, well, it's great that he's had success, not great that he fell. I was stressed, too. I remember being like, Pittsburgh, come on. New Orleans, come on. All right, question three. Aaron Donald has had quite an eventful week when, and I don't want to misrepresent this, I believe what happened is he was accused of beating up a guy, but then the guy realized he was actually defending him and it was another guy that punched him, and it's very confusing. So my question for you is not why would anyone get in a fight with Aaron Donald, which is, of course, the obvious question, but have you ever been in a fight?
No, I haven't, but I have had a near fight. Would you like to hear the story?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was in college. I was of legal drinking age, and we were at a bar. And my good friend Lucas, it was one of our friends, like, going away parties. We had a friend who was a little older than us who was, like, hanging out in Bloomington. He worked for the Bloomington Herald Times, and we're all out celebrating Ryan's going away party. And this was, like, at the time that, like, Jersey Shore was incredibly popular. And, you know, JWoww would always, like, get into, you know, scuffles at the bar, but she was always, like, trying to protect her friends. So, like, this very drunk individual spilled, like, a drink all over my friend Lucas, who was not happy. So I'm like, I'm going to take this into my own hands. And I just, like, kind of gave this person, like, a shove from the back, and all my guy friends were like, oh my God, we got to get her out of here. Like, lift me out of the bar and take me out. Like, it wasn't anything vicious or
a shove, though.
It was a shove. But I didn't hit anyone.
Bar fight. So you started a bar fight.
No, cool. No, I got taken out. They took me out before.
Basically started a bar fight.
Before anybody could get me in serious trouble. But I don't know if I should have admitted that on air. But oh well.
Starting bar fights. question four. This is not the question. Maybe. Have you seen the show Fargo?
No, I have not. But I've heard about it.
How do you live in Minnesota and you've never seen the show Fargo?
I don't know, because we'll see. You see, this is your East Coast, West Coast bias, where like, we're not that close to Fargo, and that's really, really far.
No, but it takes place in Minnesota.
But why is it called Fargo then?
I don't want to ruin the show for you. It's really good. If you like Coen Brothers stuff.
I've seen the movie Fargo.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, the wood chipper and everything.
Then you'll love the show.
Okay.
So it's fantastic. It. All right. I was going to ask you about the accuracy of the accents, because they all have Minnesota accents, and your accent always kind of makes me happy. So
that's cool.
All right. Final question, as always, comes from Lenny. Lenny, this is a simple question from him. We just went on a walk, and he wants you to know that it's 75 degrees here and is curious, what's the temperature where you are?
Oh, it was in the 50s today, so it wasn't terrible, but it's, I think we might have snow, like little flurries in the forecast this week. It snowed last week here, not much, it was just kind of like a dusting. The Midwest in April, like, I always say, give me till May 1st to get through snow.
May 1st.
I know, it's kind of nuts, just because you'll get these, like, little spotty showers, because it's always, like, 50 degrees and just kind of crummy in April, but we could also have, like, a nice day. So, I mean, tell Lenny if he wants to come to Minnesota, he can come hang out with me. I'll take him on walks. I live near a lake, but don't expect 75 until middle of May, maybe June.
He says he doesn't want to come.
Well, that's his loss.